Lord, thank you again for another great night. We praise you, Father, for the love that you've poured out upon us. We thank you, Lord, for your overcoming power that you've placed in us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to be with us, leading us and guiding us and showing us what you want us to do. And Father, we thank you for your protection upon President Trump and his cabinet and the Patriots. We thank you, Father, for the things that you're doing to relieve a lot of the mess that the left had wanted to put on us during the first little bit of the tribulation. And Lord, we just praise you and glorify you for what you're doing in your bride and all the people associated with it, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you are bringing us into that realm of power that gets us through the tribulation with flying colors, because you're the one we're going to float on all the way through. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your encouraging words to those that need it. And we thank you, Father, for lifting us up when we fall. And we thank you, Lord, for all the things that you do to keep us in line, keep us on the way. And Father, we praise you, we glorify you for all that you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, anybody got any prayer requests? Y'all hear that thunder? It's thundering out there. Let me get this professional microphone up here. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Pat, they turned the lights on for you. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for putting him in the light. How much longer, Pat? How much longer? A couple of weeks?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
No one has said anything about it. I don't know if that's because I've done maybe a good job at it, or if they just, they haven't heard me complain yet. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, the Lord will keep you there as long as you need it, I guess.
Amen.
All right, anybody got any prayer requests or testimonies or praise report? Yeah, Missy.
Well,
last night. Wait a minute. You can't start out just saying, well.
Anyway, last night, Kurt and Brooke put Jack to sleep, so he's in doggy heaven. He called me up and told me that I had to send their dog's harness back to them. They have another dog. We have actually two other dogs too. Ollie is the youngest one, and they brought him along when they visited, and they forgot his harness. So I sent that back to him, and he only called me to tell me that they got it. And then he said they had an appointment for Saturday for him with the vet, but he said he's not going to make it, and his voice started cracking. And I said, are you upset? And he goes, of course I'm upset. And then I was getting upset as I asked him that, you know. And so he cried and I cried. And then we prayed that the Lord would take him, you know, quickly in his sleep or whatever. And but anyway, so right after I got off the phone with him, not long after that, the vet called and said they had an opening. Somebody must have canceled or whatever. So they took him in, and that was the Lord. That was sovereign of the Lord, you know. And I had a feeling that's what was going to happen. I was asking the Lord, let me hear a word by the end of the night that Jack's, you know, he's gone and he's no more suffering. He couldn't. Kurt couldn't stand to see him suffer. They had another dog, but they only had her for 2 years. She was an old dog. They got her from someone that knew someone that had a dog that passed away and they had to find a home for. But this is the only dog Jack's ever had this long. I mean, Kurt's had this long. He was almost 14 years old and he's never had to put a dog down, you know, put a dog to sleep, you know. And when I was a kid, we had a dog for 16 years. I think I was 19 when my mom had to put her to sleep. But I think this bothered me more. He was a really good dog. So I just praise the Lord. He's no longer suffering. But Kurt said when they left Friday before they came here, that he wasn't good, but he wasn't that bad. But while they were gone, he got bad really quick. So it was the Lord. He was just, not making it a long process or, you know, having to do the whole vet thing back and forth or anything. So thank you, Lord. So he called me when they were almost home and said, Jack's gone. And I was like, oh, and he told me what happened. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. But Lord, we just thank you for filling that void that Jack left with something else. And Father, we praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Lord, we can look forward to seeing Jack up in heaven. In Jesus' name. If he was a good dog, he's in heaven.
Yeah. Well, I want to pray something too, because I had sent out a text to a bunch of sisters last night about praying for Jack to go quickly or whatever. And I think it was Marilyn and I were having a kind of a little bit of conversation back and forth, you know. And he lost his pap back Kurt lost his pap back in March. And then Kurt and Brooke, you know, lost the baby, miscarriage, and now Jack. And my prayer is, Father, I just pray you use these things to just soften up his heart and draw him to you, Lord. You know, I spoke to him, you know, there's some things coming down the pike, and Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you just work in his heart, speak in his heart, Lord, whatever it is, and, you know, and know that life is short, and to, you know, to live his life serving you, Lord, and let him know, Lord, that, you know, you're his Father in heaven, and you created him and you knew him before he was even born. Help him to come to the understanding of your love for him and the giving of your son for him and Jesus' willingness to do that. And that have a realization that his life is not his own, Lord, and that he's to live his life serving you, bringing you glory and honor and praise, Lord, and in love and adoration and appreciation, Lord, for giving him the breath of life and the breath of life of your spirit, you know, the physical life, but also this the spiritual life, eternal life. And I just thank you, Lord, and I praise you, Lord, for doing that for Kurt and Brooke both. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Lord, we think you're going to work in his heart very soon and bring him in, Lord, him and Brooke too. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Anybody else? Old devil's beating his wife out there. Nobody else got anything to pray about? Yeah, Pat.
Oh. something the Lord gave me today. Actually, I think I'm losing track of my days and nights here, but it was the last thing that he gave me here. I think it was yesterday. And I had been praying about just the some of the things that are happening, you know, in my family and in the house, and it was weighing on my heart, basically, as to how to respond and, you know, how to walk with the Lord through this process. And he led me to a scripture, and I'd like to read that scripture tonight and just kind of share a few things about what the Lord showed me about it, and then ask for some prayer as well, say at the end. But the scripture is Matthew 11:28, and I was thinking about it, I was thinking relative to that scripture, and the thought came to me today in the shower, which seems to be where a lot of these thoughts come from. But I was thinking about how the devil's job is to divide and conquer, and his one of his main goals is to separate us, whether it be us as individuals or whether it be obviously initially he has separated us from God. And so that in that whole separation and that in that concept, he's able to then, you know, separate us out away from the group or away from other people or away from that norm, the normal structure that God has provided, and in order to pick us off, wear us down, or even kill us, you know, separate us and separate us from the good things of God, and eventually kill us, or we kill ourselves or something in this world, or we waste our life at best. So anyway, I was thinking on those terms, and I was seeing the need to, why is it that there seems to be divisions or schisms or things between us that cause us to separate, whether we separate in emotions or just separate in our thinking or whatever it would be. And I was taken back to one of the very first lessons that the Lord led me into, and this was after I became a Christian, and he led me into the church, the kind of the organized church of today, and he led me into that as he does most of us, in order to plug us into a controlled environment, and so that we can learn, I believe, the very first thing that he wants us to learn, and that is submission. Because I know I didn't come equipped with a package of submission. That was something I had to learn through the school of hard knocks and very hard knocks. But it came a little bit easier in my life when I realized that God provided us, every one of us, a structure to plug into, a structure that he created, and in that structure there's some form of authority. We are either we're in and under authority in all areas of our life. Whether if we're a father, then we are in authority over our children, and with that comes certain responsibilities and things that we have to learn to carry out. If we are all under the authority of the government and the governmental structures and the police and the all the various different forms of government that are in place, we're all under those. So every one of us has to learn how to respond, plug into that authority, relax, and trust God to lead us in the proper way of responding to those above us in authority and those below us in under our responsibility. And I believe that that is probably, the opposite of that is rebellion, which is the devil's playground. That's where he does the most destruction. And just in as historical view, whenever God brought correction to the people of God, say in the Old Testament, coming out of through judges and into the various different countries where they were trying to overcome and overtake, throughout history, whenever God's people needed correction, he always brought someone in to conquer them and bring them under forced submission. And for the purpose of putting them in an environment that was controlled. And if they can learn submission and learn to be, to respond to God in this process, then I believe that that's one of the first places of our submission is the first step to receiving the grace that God gives us in our life in order to help us function. But anyway, if you are like me, this discipleship process that God has us all in, in my situation has been a situation of multiple failures until I finally get the point. And then once you have the point, once you have the understanding or you're able to walk in that faith and truth, then you don't need any more correction. So if you were to take an objective view of my life or any one of God's disciples' lives, I believe that you could probably take an objective view of their life and say, well, for the most part, their life has been about 90% failure and about 10% success. Because you would tend to view all of those failures and all those stumblings and everything until that person really got the point. You don't really focus on the point that he got. You just focus on all the failures that he had up to that point. I don't say this, obviously bring this up as an excuse or anything for any one of us, including myself, but it is, I think, important to understand if you are, because I'm in the scripture, God's very explicit in, you know, in his promises in certain conditions where you have maybe a husband that may not be a Christian, and God gives specific direction, the mighty hand of God, and learn to submit and receive what God is doing in your life. And that message of humility and servitude and will and may be the very thing that speaks to that husband in order to bring that husband into a salvation experience with God. vice versa. Children, he commands children to learn to submit. So the thought came to me as the scripture came up, and I'd just like to read it. And it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this was a scripture that the Lord had me share with my wife today. And I get emotional and just talking about it. But the thing that hit me is that when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, what he was saying to self in, whether we are a wife under a husband or a mother, a wife with children, with under a husband and with children under them as their responsibility, wherever you find yourself in this environment that God has created for you, get into that environment by placing yourself under the submission and into that yoke with Jesus, because Jesus will walk with you and teach you and train you to walk with him and respond properly to your position in this structure, wherever he has placed you. He learn of him, watch him, listen to the Spirit of God lead you through the scripture, listen to his Spirit as he influences your heart to say, participate, pray, or whatever. And as long as we're able to discern how Jesus would respond in these, in that position or in that place, then we can walk in the same yoke. We can walk together in that same process. And I know there is a false philosophy obviously that is rampant around the world, and that is the I think the liberation or being, and that is requiring this equality of authority or a position with men. And I know that's nowadays, that's a very tense type of a conversation to get involved in, because it sends all kinds of sparks flying all over the place, because it is absolutely void of the fact that it doesn't matter man, woman, child, ruler, or whatever. We are all under, in the same structure of authority, one place or another. The position or place we're at doesn't make us better or worse than the other. It simply plugs us into that position. And if we can relax with Jesus in his yoke, in that position and place where we have been placed, we find ourselves in, we can rest assured that he is right there with us and can provide whatever thing we need in our particular struggles within that, that are connected to that particular position. So I say this, you know, I guess not so much for the people that are in the group here, whoever be listening later on down the line, or if anybody else is listening that outside the confines of this, I think it's something that that the world is absolutely in opposition to, but that I believe that God's word is clear on this thing, and I just think that that as we learn to participate and join with Jesus and watch him to see how he would respond in these situations or these conditions or positions that we find ourselves in, I think that's it's vital to entering into that rest with him. So this was, the Lord gave me, I think gave me this for my wife as just a bit of help or assistance in this area, but it was likewise for me because it was something that I hadn't done as, say, a father or a husband in the my responsibility to speak God's words into certain conditions or situations in my own family. So I really, at the same time that I kind of talk about this, asked for prayer to continue this process and give me grace to walk in accordance to God, placing my head in that yoke as well and watching Jesus so that I can learn to respond like Jesus would in all the situations that I have in my life. The other thing is, as I left today, I also voiced a prayer with my wife as well, that remembrance of the sower, the parable sower, where not only the devil's job is to separate us, but also to separate us from God's word or to remove that word from us. So as a result of that, I prayed against God, against the devil, removing that word so that I and my wife can keep that word, keep it and allow it to grow and allow that to develop in our lives. I believe that God will do that and that will develop in fruit. So, Father, just ask you, Lord, to, as I've spoken this tonight, Lord, and just I place my head under the yoke of Jesus in this particular area of my life. And I just encourage all others that may be listening to this or are thinking about this, that just to look over and ask you to point out and bring forth areas of their life that they may in fact be able to place their head into your yoke and enter into that rest with you, Lord. So I just bless you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness, your grace. Thank you for giving us your word. And again, Lord, I just say, let there be light within all of us on this subject. Let there be light within us as a group, but within our families and our children. Let there be light that draws us into a closer and stronger relationship and fellowship with you. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. Lord, we believe with Pat that that is done in Jesus' name. Lord, while you fill us with the Holy Spirit, fill us up with the love of the Holy Spirit too. That love that you want to see come out of us, Lord, toward one another. And I thank you for that, Father. That when you've got the love of Christ in your heart, there is no division. There is no divisiveness. There is no faction. It's the love of Christ. It permeates every part of our being. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Anyone else? Thank you, Pat. Yeah, Missy.
Tomorrow Alex is going off to college and he's driving up to college an hour and a half, 45 minutes away. So I just would like to pray for him. Father, I just ask you to watch over and keep Alex in driving, Lord, up there, and continue to keep him safe in driving, and Lord, impress upon him not to be so heavy on the gas and the brake, please. Oh Lord, even if you got to give him a scare of an experience, but keep him safe to help him to understand that, Lord. Anyway, Lord, and I just ask you to watch over him, Lord, and give him experiences, Lord, that turns his heart to you, Lord, that shows him that he needs you in his life. And Lord, show him the things that he's filled in his mind and his heart up with, the things of the world are not satisfying, Lord. Give him a distaste for them, Lord. And I just ask you to protect his mind, help him to recognize anything that he hears in school and teachings, Lord, that's not according to your word, and put a desire, a hunger, and a thirst in him for your word, that he understand that your word is the most important thing to study, Lord, and to have a relationship with you and to know you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for continuing working in his heart and delivering him from all the power of the enemy, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just ask that you put a noxious block in his mind if those leftist professors, as they have in a lot of those colleges, that he won't receive any of that garbage in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that anti-Christ teachers and professors that they have in some of these colleges, Lord, I ask that you block his mind from all that stuff in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Anybody else? He gonna be fine, miss.
What's he going to school for? What's he studying?
I know you ain't asking me, because I don't know.
I'm sorry, I forgot to unmute myself. Yeah, computer science. This is his last year.
Oh, he's graduating this year from computer science, a degree? Oh, that's good.
Did you raise your hand, Barry? I thought I saw you raise your hand. Okay. Anybody else? I think we decided we're going to talk a little bit about God's love. And can I read y'all something out of Andy Murray's The Fruit of the Spirit is Love? It's really awesome. And I think y'all will enjoy it, get a little out of it. It's in that big book, Missy, of Absolute Spirit of Surrender. The Fruit of the Spirit is Love. That's the name of it. He says, I want to look at the fact of a life filled with the Holy Spirit more from the practical side. I want to show how this life will reveal itself in our daily walk and conduct. Under the Old Testament, you know, the Holy Spirit often came upon men as a divine spirit of revelation to reveal the mysteries of God, or for power to do the work of God. But he did not dwell in them then. Now, many just want the Old Testament gift of power for the work, but they know very little of the New Testament gift of the indwelling spirit animating and renewing the whole life. When God gives the Holy Spirit, his great object is the formation of a holy character. It is a gift of a holy mind and spiritual disposition. And what we need above everything else is to say, I must have the Holy Spirit sanctifying my whole inner life if I am really to live for God's glory. You might say that when Christ promised the Spirit to the disciples, he did so that they might have power to be witnesses. True, but then they received the Holy Spirit in such heavenly power and reality that he took possession of their whole being at once, and so fitted them as holy men for doing the work with power as they had to do it. Christ spoke of power to the disciples, but it was the Spirit filling their whole being that worked the power. Now, let's go to Galatians 5 and 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We read that love is the fulfilling of the law, Romans 13 and 10. And my desire is to speak on love as a fruit of the Spirit with a twofold object. One is that this word may be a searchlight in our hearts and give us a test by which to try all our thoughts about the Holy Spirit and all our experience of the holy life. Let us try ourselves by this word. Has this been our daily habit, to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of love? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Has it been our experience that the more we have of the Holy Spirit, the more loving we become? In claiming the Holy Spirit, we should make this the first object of our expectation. The Holy Spirit comes as a spirit of love. Oh, if this were true in the Church of Christ, how different her state would be. May God help us to get a hold of this simple heavenly truth that the fruit of the Spirit is a love which appears in the life. Just as the Holy Spirit gets real possession of the life, the heart will be filled with real, divine, universal love. One of the greatest causes why God cannot bless his church is the lack of love. When the body is divided, there cannot be strength. In the time of their great religious wars, when Holland stood out so nobly against Spain, one of their mottos was, unity gives strength. It is only when God's people stand as one body, one before God in the fellowship of love, one toward another in deep affection, one before the world in a love that the world, hang on. It's going stupid over here. In a love that the world can see it, it is only then that they will have power to secure the blessing which they ask of God. Remember that if a vessel that ought to be one whole is cracked into many pieces, it can't be filled. You can take one part of the vessel, dip out a little water into that, but if you want the vessel full, the vessel must be whole. And that is literally true. Of Christ's church. And if there's one thing we must pray for still, it is this, Lord. Now, it is this. Lord, melt us together into one by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit, who at Pentecost made them all of one heart, one soul, do his blessed work among us. Praise God, we can love each other in a divine love, for the fruit of the Spirit is love. Give yourselves up to love, and the Holy Spirit will come and receive the Spirit, and he will teach you to love more. I thought that would be a good opening, because that's what God wants. You know, he talks about without that love for one another, we're a broken vessel. David has a book. It's called Sanctification Before Blessing. And if we understand that God wants that love in our hearts for each other and the world, actually, the people in the world, then that vessel will be whole. It's when we have some that love and some that don't love that we have a broken vessel. You can't sit around and look and criticize people around you for what they're doing when you've got you're a broken vessel yourself. And so we must have, and try, and every morning we ought to get up and ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit with the intention of filling us up with God's love, Jesus' love. And when we do that, we'll be a full vessel. Okay, y'all take it now. I just want to put that out there because I believe that's the way God wants it. I truly do. All right. Anybody else on God's love? What's your comments on it? I think I read, I searched, I think there's something like 140-something different verses with love in it, just in the New Testament. I believe that's right. I could be wrong, but I'm very seldom in. No, I'm just kidding. I'm wrong a lot, too many things. Okay, Missy.
We went over these not too awfully long ago. Not sure how long, but you know, they just so impress me. I go back to them and read them again, and it's John 15, you know. Oh my gosh. How about starting at verse 9? Hate to start there. All of it's so good, this part in here. Okay. Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do the things which I command you. Which also means if you love me, you will keep my commandments. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known unto you. Ye did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that ye should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Anyway, that always just, I have...
Well, There's that next one.
Oh, did I stop too soon? These things I command you, that ye may love one another. I'm sorry. If the world hateth you, ye know that it hath hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. And because ye are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Which also makes me think of in 1 John, I forget where it's at, but it says, I'm not seeing it here. I think it's 1 John 5. I don't know, but it says, if you love the world and the things in the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Something to that effect. I don't know if I quoted it completely correct, but yeah, I mean, we can't hate our brother or not love our brother and say we love God. That makes us a liar, you know? Anyway, that often just, I have in my bathroom this little sign. It says, love one another as I have loved you. And it's also in John 13, says that, John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye also may love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another. recall some place it says, unfeigned love or unfaked love, you know, and you really know love by actions. You know, you can tell somebody you love them till they're blue in the face, or somebody can tell you that they love you until they're blue in the face, but if their actions don't prove it, you know, it's you know, you don't believe it, you know. So it's just really something to really think about, you know. You know, to even check ourselves, you know, do you tell anybody that you love them, you know, but you don't treat them right, or at times you don't treat them right, that, you know, you don't lay down your life for them. I mean, it's like, you know, how much you love them only goes as far as how I mean, sometimes you act in love and sometimes you don't act in love. I mean I can say that myself, you know. Sometimes what comes out of me isn't, you know, necessarily love, you know. So it's like, Lord, help us to check our hearts and how we do treat others. And I think we all can say that the people that we live with, our family, is that's where we really get tested. I think people we live with get underneath our skin easier than anybody else usually. But anyway, 'cause you just know them so well. And it's like, you know, I would just help us to really to not be that way. That we just always be showing your love, acting out your love to each other, laying our lives down, not thinking of ourselves, Lord, but thinking about the other person first. Not thinking about our own things. That's just a miserable place to be, thinking about ourselves. Struggling and striving to get what we want. put in our hearts, Lord, what your will is. And your will is always love, is to always express love. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. In 1 John 3, that's another little love portion of it. 1 John 3 and 11, starting out there. For this is the message which you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil, and his brothers righteous. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He that loves not abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby know we love because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and shuts up his compassion for him, how doth the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and truth. Hereby shall we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Because if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, even as he gave us commandment. And he that keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he gave us. Amen. Jesus told us if we run after him, and I'm just paraphrasing, if we run after him with all our hearts, all the other stuff will come about. Because when you get the love of Christ in your heart, I heard somebody tell me this the other day, you get the love of Christ in your heart, you're going to do the things that God wants you to do, and it won't be a big deal. You'll be wanting to do those things. Yeah, Leah.
That verse that Missy was quoting, the one she couldn't find, is 1 John 2:15. It said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So that was that verse you were quoting earlier. I just wanted to share.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. That's true. When you get God's love in your heart, all this other stuff is not going to mean much to you. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just looking at that verse that Missy read in John 15:13. where it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I was just, I looked up some of the definitions. That word for lay down, not quite sure what the word is. Not that it really matters anyway. I couldn't pronounce it anyway. But anyway, it means to, in the widest application, to place in a passive or horizontal posture. And the thing that kind of popped out to me was passive, to kind of place in a passive posture that man lay down his life. That word for life is the word psuche, or what's commonly referred to as the soul. And even though that traditionally, I think that when we think of that verse, think of Jesus giving his life, his body to the cross, and we might think of it more in terms of that physical giving up of our physical life. But the word is psuche, and it really comes before the physical life scenario, where it's more of a placing. It would be placing that that soulful, emotional, mental thinking process in a passive position, and allowing that the other life of the other individual or whatever, your friends, to take priority, I guess is kind of what I'm thinking of it. So I just wanted to throw that in there for added extra, no extra charge.
Okay. Praise God. Yeah, let me get this quote just right here. Just a minute, Debbie, let me finish this. I was kind of paraphrasing a while ago, this person told me. But they said, when you're doing something because of the love of God in your heart for others, it's not a sacrifice. And that's the truth. It's not a sacrifice. It's love of God and the brother that allows you to do that. Actually, a blessing. It's Jesus in me that does it. Go ahead, Debbie.
I really like what Pat said there about the suke. It's like a decision from the heart, like forgiving from our hearts. We need to forgive from our hearts. We just choose to do it. So it's like, I choose to love from my heart. And I was reading earlier, 1 Peter 1:22 says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love for the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of the seed which is perishable, but imperishable. So I just was reading that actually before the conference call started. So it's like a choice, you must do, because God is love. He's in us. I choose to love. We got to keep our heart prepared for that, I guess. So when the times come for really having to be action of love, we can do it.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
What came to my mind was Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. That's what Jesus did, you know? And we're called to do the same thing. And how was he able to do that? he was able to do that because of love. Which also reminds me of another book that with the very beginning of that chapter. Another book with the same chapter, which is Hebrews 12. But let me finish this. I'm sorry, I don't want to get on a rabbit trail here. And be not fashioned according to this world. There comes the world again. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you know, that what just came to me is perfect will, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What just came to me was perfect love casts out fear. You know, perfect will of God is doing everything in God's will out of love, you know, love in your heart. You know, wow, when you really think about, you know, every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, all the different fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, gentleness, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, self-control, you know, every one of them, you know, love is first and foremost, because the others, you can't have the others without love. It's like all the others are in love, you know, are encompassed in love. But anyway, but
I said the foundation is love, right?
Right. But you know, and then Hebrews 12, therefore let us all, so seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that hath endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that ye wax not weary, fainting in your souls. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which reasons with you as with sons. My son, regard not lightly the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art reproved of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Boy, the Lord must love me a lot. Anyway.
Yeah, all of us. All right. Andrew, did you have something? Do you have anything else, Missy?
No, I think I'm done for now.
Okay.
So she mentioned something that there's no fear in love, and there's a verse like that. There is no fear in love, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I don't know where it is. It's just something that popped into my head, and I don't know if I have it right.
It's in 1 John 4, but I don't know the verse.
17. 1 John 4, 17. Or it might be 18.
What's that, Wade?
1 John 4, 17. It might be 18, but I think it's 17.
Okay. All right, anybody else? I see you, Paula, now. Go ahead.
When Missy said earlier, living for yourself is such a miserable place to be at, I thought of this verse that I read in the week now, Proverbs 11, verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And that is such a beautiful automatic blessing when you're watering someone else, when you're good to someone else, you're sowing that back into your own life. And it was amazing because it was a confirmation of what the Lord showed me about this. This one lady, my dad is in a retirement village, and I've befriended this woman, and she's got a very sad history, but she's a believer. And I've actually downloaded, what is it called? What is the Unleavened Bread? 1 and 2. I've downloaded it for her on her phone, and she started listening that. And the next step now is Real Good News, and she's really liking it. But the Lord told me that as I'm ministering to her and as I'm helping her, the thought just came to me that someone will reach out to my dad and do for my dad what I cannot necessarily do in that regard. And then I got this verse. So for me, it was just a beautiful confirmation of I'm watering someplace else now where I can't necessarily do it with my dad now in that way. But someone else might come and then show that love for someone that I really love, because that woman is dear to someone else, you know. So it was just this beautiful confirmation of that watering and being watered in return. So just
sowing and reaping, right? Amen. Okay. Somebody tell me how I can get more love. How can I get more Jesus love? That ain't a quick trick question there. Go ahead, Marilyn.
I know what the Lord's been dealing with me about, just, you know, abundantly, is the more we die to self, you know, the there's less of us, and then there's more room for Jesus. So that word that the Lord gave Debbie a few weeks ago, every time we say no to self, we're saying yes to the Father, and he is saying yes to us, and he hears the desire of our hearts, the cries of our hearts to be filled with the love of Christ.
Amen. Go ahead, Wade.
Well, I just wanted to add that not only dying to ourselves, but outright seeking to obey him. To obey, you know, brings the death of ourselves.
Amen. It does. Sure does. Oh, Missy.
Well, and also his word is the sword, and the sword, you know, is you know, kills our flesh, kills our old man, you know, puts to death, you know, when we read it and we, like, we're convicted, the Lord shows us something that we need to repent of, you know, and obey it, you know, that's a crucifixion, you know. So the more we're in the word, the more you know, the old man, the flesh, is crucified, and you know, the more we're filled with the Lord, with the Spirit, you know, because the word is the Spirit, you know. So
yeah, how can we learn the love of God without reading the word? Is Jesus, and that's part of it too. So it's a combination of things. Dying to self, and you die to self by reading the word, doing what the word says, obeying the word, obeying the commandment. Won't y'all be glad when we get to heaven and we ain't got to struggle? I will. But we can do that down here too. You know, we just got to give it up. I got to give it up and let God. That's what it takes, is give it up and let God. And He'll work in your life. Pat put on there Luke 6:38. Give it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Get the bucket, somebody. We're going to pass the plate. That's what that was about. No. Yeah. They will pour in. When you give, it's going to be given back to you. That's sowing and reaping. Somebody had their hand up. Who was that? I just saw it flash. Oh, Paula, go ahead.
I read in a devotional of Charles Spurgeon, he just said there as well, beautiful, that the hunger and the thirst for righteousness, when you said now when we get to heaven and we can have it here on earth, he said even that hunger and that thirst, even though we might not be filled, you know, at this stage like we want to be filled and like it's going to be in heaven, even that hunger and thirsting is a blessing. And where the Lord says as well, you know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, because the hunger and the thirst you have shows that the Lord is blessing you, in that He is drawing you, He is putting that desire in you. And when He puts that desire in you, He will also fill you. But that to me was so beautiful, because, you know, I'm sure, you know, all of us have felt where you cry for that righteousness and you love the Lord, but you want to love Him more. But just that, even if we haven't attained that yet, it's still a blessing. Just to feel that hunger, just to feel that thirst is also a blessing. Because it's God at work.
Oh. Amen. I was, when you read that book by Inside the Gates of Heaven, he talks about the closer you get, I'm just kind of paraphrasing, the closer you get to God here on earth, is the closer you'll be with Him in heaven. Because His glory, if He comes out in all of His glory, and you don't have a whole lot, but just enough to get in the door up there, you're not going to be able to see Him in all His glory. He'll have to tone it down in order for you to even see Him. But He said, those that have killed the flesh here are able to commune with Him up in heaven in His full glory. And that's way up yonder somewhere. You know? And so that's why we ought to be doing that. How many of you want to get real close? You know, I envision myself. I do this a lot because I get the ocean sounds going at night. Somebody put me onto that, and I get the ocean sounds going at night so I can sleep good. And before I go to sleep, I often catch myself running after Jesus and walking with Him down the seashore. And that's the way I want to be. I want to be close to Him. Not that I have come into any kind of a full glory, but I want to. And I know all of y'all do. Ain't but one way to do it, folks. That's run after Him with all your heart. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I was just thinking about the people who had to give their lives as martyrs. And you know, there's Stephen, of course, in the book of Acts. But it made me something just made me think of this book that I have here. It's a martyr's book. I don't really like the title, but it's called Jesus Freaks. And it's the voice of the martyrs. There's just a bunch of stories in there. And it's almost like these people were forced to show their love. You know, like some of the stories that I remember is one in particular of a young Russian soldier who had to give his life and stand at attention in below zero weather in his summer uniform because the colonel of the regiment he belonged to wanted him to renounce Jesus Christ, and he didn't. And of course, you know, at the end of the story, you get those other people who were watching on the sidelines saying, this guy must be legit. And they themselves went out to go find out what he had, you know. And that's another aspect of a test, but a past test, you know. And for some reason, you know, we were discussing not too long ago, actually, the once saved, always saved people. And I quoted some verses from Matthew 24 there. And well, you all know what it says in the ninth verse about what happens to the world at that time. And, you know, it talks about the stumbling in verse 10 there. And the delivering up. So I guess the love left a lot of people in that stumbling. And this is why we discuss this love, you know, as the brotherhood of Christ and the brethren, you know, is something you don't want to give up yourself, but it's something that you don't want to, if you have to hide your brother, you know, you don't say where your brother might be, you know, if it ever came to that, to the worldly, I would think, you know. Anyways, I guess I was just thinking on a different, you know, when you start discussing love and, you know, some of the things that have happened in the Bible, you know, like, for instance, Stephen, can you always maybe picture maybe another little child there? Child of parents who are brethren saying, Mom, isn't that Stephen? Isn't he the one who talks to us about Jesus, you know? And what are all the other little side stories that could be to that, you know, that you might find out later on in heaven, of course, that this little child saw the martyrdom of one of the disciples, you know? And this is actually being seen today around the world. And you don't get to see that here in here too much, unless you hear it in the news that this happened, and they don't really give you that aspect of the story if someone passes away that way. And you get to find out later, though. And you know, I was also, you know, when Paula spoke there, first thing that snapped into my mind was the love of Jesus, you know, and the cross, and how he embraced that cross. And I think it's in Hebrews, the verse somewhere. So that's some of the things that was just going through my head here, that the great love that you should have for the body of Christ. And you know that over there in the book of Acts there, how they gave themselves so much so that if they had this extra piece of land, they knew that they were given that to the body of Christ. I remember it even quoted here in UVM that there might be a time where that returns, you see. I don't know how that's going to work out, but God is sovereign, and those verses there where you get some sovereign verses there, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein, you can even have the Lord change a person's mind who is not saved for your favor, King Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, and many others that are spoken of there. When of course Laban came to Jacob, and then he met up with Esau right after that, and they were both in both those times Jacob and or Israel was spared, and that was all God's will. He didn't even have to pray for that. It just happened. It's these items I think you have to really look for in your time with the Lord. But for me, I'm a real lonely person. Lately, I haven't been seeing anybody in the family. They're not very phone call to me, it was my sister's birthday not too long ago, and I sent her a nice card, and she called me about the card, and she said, "Oh, my card came just in time because we're going on a vacation to Europe, to Italy again." And I went, "Oh, so I guess that was good that the card came so early. I just wanted to have your card for a while, you spend time sending it out in the mail and signing it and giving it to them, and you want them to have it for a while, not just arrive on the day of their birthday." That's all. Praise God.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Dave, we hadn't heard from you yet. You're the one who brought the subject up. Come on, man.
I didn't bring it up today. I was holding back and letting other people talk for a while. You kind of dominate the floor sometimes, and I thought, time for me to kick back. I know other people got things to say. Well, I think there's so many different ways that we can express our love in the body of Christ, and it's in a variety, and it comes in waves, it comes in depth, depending upon what's required at the time. And especially when we're working with the body of Christ, it's always sincere, and it's always a lot of love. It's an overwhelming love when you're with the body. Not that it's not a love for people outside the body of Christ. You have a love for them. I mean, Jesus just said here recently, he gave me this, Matthew 4:19, he said, "Come unto me and I'll make you fishers of men." So there we have a love for the lost. It's a desire to bring people into the kingdom. But that love is a desire for doing the work of God while we're here on the earth, to offer the kingdom of God to those that are going to receive the call and accept it. And then we're going to love them even more because they become brothers. But we're supposed to love the people in the church with a on feigned love, not a fake love. And that's one of the things we want to be careful of. You see a lot of feigned love in a church today, you know, in the broad church, just because they are together by association, but not necessarily by the passion they have for each other because they know each other by Christ, because they don't know Christ that well, so they don't have that Christ-like love in them. Our job is to come in the fullness of the image of Jesus Christ, and in that process, we get to know who Christ is by the love he has for us. Because he said in 1 John, if we go to 1 John 4:19, he says, we love because he first loved us. So our job is to understand, wait a minute, the love first that we're experiencing is something he gave us. And by understanding what that love is and coming into fullness of that love, then we're able to share it with others. Until we can understand and come in that fullness of our love with our Savior that he's giving us, how can we understand it to give to somebody else? It's very important that we understand the love God has for us and understand and feel it and know it's real and how it's acting in our life and how it's made us what we are and it's taken us where we're going to be and it's never going to let us down. Once we understand how that love works for us and we know that we can depend upon that love, then we're able to share that love with others because we have that same love we can give to them. But if we don't have that, if we don't understand it, we haven't experienced that, we're not driving to understanding and bringing that closer to us, that love that God gives us, we're never going to be able to share it with somebody else. We can talk about it all day with scriptures, but we have to make that love real and personable. And when that happens, then when we do share what it is we're doing with somebody else, whether it be our close brother in the work or somebody else we're bringing in the kingdom, when we have that love because we know it firsthand, then we're able to show them Christ and the love that God has for them because we understand what that love is because we have it ourselves. Just wanted to speak that real clear.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Where'd Joe go? Leave out. Let me pray for Joe. He wanted us to pray for love in his heart too. Father, in the name of Jesus, you hear his cry. He wants your love, Lord. He's tired of having that old cold, hard heart. And Father, we thank you for molding it into your heart. Put that fleshly love in there, Lord. Fleshly love of you in his heart. Make it heart of flesh, Lord. Take that old stony cold heart out and put that heart of flesh in there. One is so full of you, Lord, that it's just going to bless his socks off. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless him tomorrow with joy and peace because he does love you. And Father, place it in his heart to pray every morning to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And we just place it in his heart, Lord, that when he wakes up, he just jumps out of bed and says, fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit so much so that there ain't nothing left in there but you. And Father, we thank you for doing that for Joe. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Because I gave that speech, what's one of the ways we can reassure and get to know ourselves better and know that God loves us? How can we get that settled in our hearts if there's any doubt? Other than knowing we've been saved, we walk in truth by the word we got with Jesus, we know we've been sanctified, we've been justified, we've been called righteous, we have all these things. But let's speak about the love. How can we prove in our hearts so that we can know it deep inside, and also ask the Lord to give it to us? How do we get that love in us that we know we have it? You know what I mean? Something that you know, hey, I just know I got that love. A lot of people don't feel loved by God. They have a relationship with God, but they don't feel that love. How can we know we have that love so we can give it to others?
I hear that. It's almost gone.
Yeah, but whenever you're doing that, we know you're working.
Okay, that's a simple answer, but I'm going to let somebody else answer it. Well, how do we do everything else? Wade, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was just thinking that it probably would be that we know from Scripture that God is love, and to fight any other thought than that, you know, if it's contrary to that God is loving me or God is love, it would be contrary. It would be wrong.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? What is going on?
This is going crazy.
Yeah, she's flipping out.
I'm sorry I asked that question.
Well, does anybody want to answer that question? How do we get the love that Jesus has? We do it by the same way we get salvation. We do it the same way we get healing. We do it the same way we get deliverance. We do it the same way we do everything else. F-A-I-T-H. Faith. To believe that God is doing that work in us. He's doing that work in us, folks. We don't have to worry about it. We do have to do what the Word says. It says, study to show yourself approved. And we get in the Word of God and learn about how Jesus acts so we can act the same way and do the same things that He did and understand it. To get trust to believe that God's going to do something is to ask God for it and look in the Word of God and put those scriptures in your mind and in your spirit that gives you the answers. I remember many years ago, I was reading Kenneth Hagin when I was learning about healing and faith and all of that stuff. And one of the things that he said that really stuck with me, he said, I would find a scripture that answered my question to the Lord. And he said, I would latch on to that thing and I would pray it every morning. I'd pray it all day long. I would pray it and pray it and pray it until I had it in my spirit. And once I had it in my spirit, you couldn't shake it loose from me. And that's the way we need to be. We need to get that word in us that way, where you can't nothing shake it out of you. And I know it takes a little while. Go ahead, Dave.
I was thinking one of the ways that we know God loves us is when we act on His promises in obedience. We're going to agree with the Word. Or whatever it is we're finding to agree on, we're going to make that agreement, and God's going to live up to that promise. When God lives up to that promise in our life, we know God loves us. As much as He says, when we're loving Him is obedience, to obey. To love me is to keep my commandments. We also know that God returns His love for us by our obedience and by our staying on task and believing the promises and acting on them. He fulfills those promises for us. He's not making His love conditional, but that's how He shows He loves us. He's not going to backpedal and not give us what He promised. He's going to be a loving Father. He's going to fulfill the Word. Just a strange example out of nowhere. I mean, I was on a kayak the other day with my family. We're in the middle of the lake, and all of a sudden the wind starts picking up, and it's getting pretty nasty. It's like, and I'm in this small kayak because I took one of the lesser ones to give my other family members a better, you know, opportunity to just to be able to get across the lake better. And I just thought I'd, you know, just take a little risk on it. But I felt that wind coming up, and I could feel where this is going to be a little dangerous. You know, it just, and all I did was look in the direction of wind, and I said, no, stop. Now, in the name of Jesus, stop. This is enough. You know, the wind died down. The wind died down. And I thought, and I didn't have any doubt, but it was just like, no, you're going to stop now. In the name of Jesus, you're done. And it died down. You know, having that in us, that that man-child, the Jesus Christ in us, allows us to have control on our lives of things and have control on the promises and act on them. That's God's love for us. That's how he shows us love. That's how he comes in our life. And he shows, hey, listen, you're my son, you're my daughter, and I'm going to honor what you're asking me. I mean, how much more of a love can we have from God than a personal God that hears everything we're saying and thinking, and he's in agreement and walking lockstep. He's watching us over. He's watching every move of us. He knows what's going to happen before it happens, but he's still there. He's still glued in. He's still watching. He's in tune. I mean, that's a love that you can't mimic with anybody else that he has on us. So if we understand that's the loving Father we have and the Savior we've got, wow. You know, he's kind of got you in the cup of his hands. So we understand what he does, how he acts in our life, how he fulfills our promises, how he works miracles by our prayers and our requests. You know, when we come together and pray for each other, he acts on those things. Wow, that's awesome. I mean, we have the Lord's attention, and he's hearing and listening to us, and we're doing the best we can to obey him, and we're trying to walk in fellowship. We're trying to give each other this Philadelphia love, it's called. Philadelphia love we have here. Brotherly love. So we act out, and we learn, and we do our part, and the Lord fulfills this. That's a love that we can't, that's expressed. It's an expressed love that we can tell others about. That's just my thoughts.
Hey, Willie. Yeah, Pat put one up there on the chat room. Luke 6:38, which says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run over, shall they give unto your bosom. For with what measure you meet shall be measured to you again. Yep, sowing and reaping. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else on God's love? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
No, the scripture verse that came to mind when Dave was talking about his experience on the lake there was, I will not leave you orphan. And, in an orphanage, usually you get to be adopted. And that's the adoption verses that are through the Bible in many places. And, if we're all brothers and we're all adopted, then we're all pretty grateful for that adoption, too. And we like to share our experiences with the Lord, with each other. I guess he'll go to great lengths for us.
He got a lot of grace, don't he? For goodness sakes, he put up with my mess for a long time. Still putting up with it. That's okay. I know he loves me. I know he loves y'all too. What are you laughing about?
All the Korean videos are a green laugh.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go to somewhere here. In John 15, back where Missy started at it, John 15:4, and this is a good verse. This is one that you can study on and meditate on and get all kinds of good stuff out of. And that's abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can you except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, how do we abide in Jesus now? Well, y'all know we get in the Word. We'll go back to that. We'll go back to getting in the Word again. To learn how Jesus' heart was, how his love for us was. He loved us so much. Even when we were sinners going sinning every day, just running around like a heathen, he died on the cross for us. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to bear his cross. And that sacrificial love will come through and it won't feel like you're sacrificing anymore. Praise God. It'll feel like you're doing it out of love for Christ.
I was thinking one of the other meanings behind abide is remain in him, remain in Jesus. Abiding and remaining, we're partaking of Jesus every day. The Word every day. That's how you abide and remain in Christ. And I wasn't going to talk real long, but just to understand what it means to abide in Christ. Well, just to continually be in his fellowship with Jesus. And what we do is it was with each other and with the Word and listening to UBM. You know, the many ways we abide in Christ.
Amen. Participating in here. Or just showing up here is abiding in Christ.
There's that reckon verse in chapter 6 of Romans too. That's abiding.
Where is it?
The reckon verse.
Oh.
Yourself. Six 11, Romans, reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God.
Yep.
Oh, reckon yourself dead to sin indeed.
I think that must be from Arkansas. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. I reckon so. Praise God.
Yours says yourselves?
Huh?
Did you say yourselves?
Mine says, even so, reckon you also yourselves to be dead in the sin. What do you think I said? You trying to mess me up, boy. Ain't hard to do either. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Missy.
What's coming to my mind is what it says in Revelation 2:4, you know, about But I have this against thee, that thou just leave love. And I'm sitting here thinking about this, and what brought me to come to that was a song keeps going through my head that I would love to sing for y'all, if I may. But, you know, seek first, it says first love, thou just leave thy first love. Well, that's the Lord, you know. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, just giving him preeminence in everything is proof of your love. But I like to sing this song.
Go for it.
You are still my first love, and all I am is yours. You are still my anchor. Forever I'm secure. You are still my first love. You're my guiding light. You're with me in the fire, and you lead me through the night. You have my heart. You've won my heart. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. You are my greatest joy. How I adore you, Jesus. Oh, my soul, rejoice. You are still my first love, and all I'm longing for. You'll always be the fortress, my shelter in the storm. You have my heart. You've won my heart. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. You are my greatest joy. How I adore you, Jesus. Oh, my soul, rejoice. How I love you. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. You are my greatest joy. I adore you. How I adore you, Jesus. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I love that song. I can sing that song over and over.
Well, that was a good
song. These songs are singing, it's so sweet. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Need to pick up the banjo to sing it, to play it along with you.
Banjo?
Well, we're needing a banjo player. All right, anybody else? Thank you, Missy, that was good.
I was thinking, when she mentioned that, she says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given unto you. What do you think he means by that? What's the kingdom of God? What does he mean by the kingdom of God? What all is that? What's that mean? I can't see it. Can you see the kingdom of God right now?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see it? Anybody want to help me out?
Debbie does. She's waving her hand there.
I see she raised it twice now.
I saw it.
Well, we see the kingdom in in the lives of the believers. You know, that's where we see the kingdom of God. And that one in First John chapter 5, verse 1, he's pointing out that there's love for God, and then it's expressed by loving those who are begotten of him. So it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, so that would be God, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So, you know, it's loving God and then loving the brethren. That's where we see the kingdom of God expressed. So, amen.
Amen. Willie Thomas, is that you? Somebody from up there in his neck of the woods, anyway. Well, all right. Well, we're out of time. We can carry on with this or anything else you want to next Tuesday night. I'll be hosting Saturday night, Lord willing. All right. Well, Father, thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God to make a way for us to love like you, and not only that, to love you, and you to love us back. Father, we thank you for placing in us trust to believe that that can happen to each one of us. You said all we had to do, Lord, was just ask. If we needed anything, if we need wisdom, just ask. If we need more love, just ask. And it'd be given to us. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to do all this work in us because we believe you. We trust you. We trust in the God that made us, that it's going to happen. The things that we want, and the things that we want, hopefully, are the things that you want, Lord. That's what we want to do. We want to make sure that our own wants are your wants. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are changing each one of us into that Jesus that you want us to be changed into. We're doing it all by faith, Lord. We just believe. And as we read the Word of God and we look and we stop and we say, man, I can do that. Or I can be that. Lord, we just thank you for your Word because we love to abide in you and see these things that keep us clean, that keep us on that straight and that narrow as you read the Word. Lord, I found out many years ago that if I get out of the Word, I'm going to mess up. But if I stay in the Word, I'm going to stay there. And Father, we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for killing the flesh out of us, taking the world away from us. But we don't need anything but you. I mean, when we get to heaven, we ain't going to have the world. We're going to have you. And so the more we get rid of the world, the closer we're going to be to you when we get there. And here, we can even experience it here. And Lord, I thank you for giving me that glimpse of your love the other night. Ooh, it was awesome, Father. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that love you're placing everybody else too, Lord. Let them experience your deep, overwhelming love, Lord. And I thank you for doing that. And I praise you, Father, for all that you are doing in each one of us. My. Lord, would you do that for everybody? Would you just give them a little taste of your love tonight and show them how much you do love them? I know we're not supposed to go by feelings, but boy, I'll tell you what, when that love potion, so to speak, from heaven comes down, it's awesome. And Father, I just ask and I pray that you do that for all of us tonight in Jesus' name. And that when we come back together Tuesday night, all of us come back together Tuesday night, that we'll be having testimonies of it. And Father, I just praise you and I glorify you And thank you for your protection upon us and your provisions that you're giving us, Lord. And I just ask that you keep us abiding in you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, folks. Now, wait a minute. Let me just pray one more prayer, can I? I'm going to pray one more prayer. Y'all lift up yours, because we're going to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you fill all of us with your Holy Spirit, so much so that all the darkness is gone, all the blackness is gone. Ain't nothing left but you, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus, and Lord, that when we wake up in the morning, we're going to be hand in hand with you, Lord, walking all day long, because you're going to be the one leading. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord God. Woo, my. Well, good night, everybody. Let me get y'all unmuted here. Good night, y'all.